Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 99 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. Rodney Hawkins joined us in studio this week to talk about some market stuff when it comes to land, even residential stuff, and where they're going with Midwest Farm and Land, his company, and what he's got coming at RG Outdoors. And we also got into some other hunting stuff as well, of course, as we always do. But if you guys have been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you know that Rodney's a partner of ours, so it's always good to get to talk to him, bring him in, and hear about what he's got going on. And, you know, just talk shop hunting stuff with him. So we'll get into that. But first, don't forget about our partner, other partner for the podcast, Grandpa Ray Outdoors. Now, they specialize in providing the best nutrition for whitetail deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seeds and plant foods. No matter what you're looking for, you're pretty much going to be able to find it with them. They've got over 14 different blends, whether that be whether you're looking for fall or spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to food plotting, they pretty much got it. Now, they were started in 2015, but John up there has been in the seed nutrition business since 1991. They're not just about selling their products, though. They're going to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way, you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. They're not about a fancy label or package, either. They're about good quality seed and taking care of their clients. We've used their seed blends on client properties of our own, and our own properties over the past couple years, and the results have always been as good as advertised. That's why we actually partnered with them in the first place, and that's why we're going to do that as long as possible. If you guys want more information on them, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, and you can make an order there as well. If you decide to do that, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your order. We're also a dealer for them, too, so you can stop in and see us at the shop and order anything that way, and it'll save you some money on shipping as well. And then, of course, like I said, Rodney Hawkins is a partner on the podcast. We're going to get into what he does and the things he's got going on. But, you know, he's a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. You guys have heard about them. If you haven't, they're really big into recreational properties. He will talk about how they've moved into more residential stuff, but they still have a lot of properties available and they have a lot of buyers available, which he's going to tell you guys about too. So if you're looking to sell land, they're going to be who you want to talk to. Rodney's number is 618-925-3153 if you have any questions about that or anything you hear on the podcast. He's also got his own company he's going to talk about called RG Outdoors. He's got a few products from a few different companies, and he's looking to possibly get into a brick-and-mortar store coming up soon and have a physical location for you guys to check out too. But for right now, they have a Facebook page, RG Outdoors. You can email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just use Rodney's cell number, 618-925-3153, if you have any questions about that. Our social media is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. Facebook and Instagram are the two that I use the most. Our Facebook group is called RHO Podcast Patrons, and that's for anybody who listens to the podcast. Join in there, and you can have some input on what happens on the show. We'll let you guys know what's coming up when we can. And we're going to do some giveaways there throughout the season, too. So that's exciting as well. If you guys are listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, make sure you follow us there and leave us a review. YouTube, like and subscribe. On that, hit the notification bell. If you guys didn't know, Fall Pursuit, our first ever episode, came out last Tuesday, so it's been up for almost a week now, and we're going to have another one coming out tomorrow, so make sure you don't miss that. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Let us know what you think of it, too. Our website is RidgeHunterOutdoors.com. Anything you see on there you like, use the discount code RHOPOD, all caps, no space. You get 10% off your order there, whether that be the apparel or the all-natural scents that we've got or the food plot seed that we have available on there as well. We won't have that probably available until the spring, but if you do decide to buy some, use that discount code and that'll save you some money. The Big Buck Contest is underway. We've got a giveaway that we're going to announce today. We drew for that yesterday, so we're going to announce the winner. And if you guys are listening to this before you've checked our Facebook page, before you've seen that, go do that, and you'll be able to see who won the first giveaway of this year's Big Buck Contest. We appreciate everybody who signed up for that, and good luck. Hopefully you guys get to enter some bucks into that and have a good chance at winning that 350 Legend. So with all that said, let's get into episode number 99 with Rodney Hawkins. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, we got Rodney in studio again this week. For you guys, it's been, what was the last time you were on here? April?
Gosh, it's been a while. Probably spring, yeah.
March or April is definitely in the spring. I know we talked about, we try to do this a couple times a year, so this rotation might work out pretty good.
Yeah.
Get you in there in the spring, and then one time during the season here, we just got the season going, so everybody's excited about being out there and hunting. We've kind of worn off the first week excitement. Yeah. We're hitting that lull period where we're trying to get excited for the pre-rut, but we were just talking before, well, most people, Dusty's been seeing some deer, but camera's just been pretty dead.
I gotta say, I've got some spikes that are just going nuts.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you would not believe how much activity these guys are giving me.
Well, don't let Jeff out there.
I know that people are, you know, like you're saying, they're not having too many showing up on camera, but like these spikes I got, like, man,
letting her have it,
man.
Huh? Yep.
I've got the.
They'll die at 3 years old, won't they?
Nah, probably in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, probably.
I've got five cameras out on my own and then share two with Bo. And the five cameras I got, like, every night, they're just, I get up, I have my phone set on Do Not Disturb till like 7 o'clock. Well, then at 7 o'clock, it's going nuts.
Well, that's good. I mean,
there's 30, 40 pictures a night.
Yep.
You're one of the guys that's getting some pictures then, huh?
Yeah, but it's mostly does and the yearlings, you know.
Yeah, younger bucks.
But no, we have some decent bucks. Some that's borderline, you're just gonna have to wait and see
right
what they look like in front of you. Then we got a couple,
yep,
couple hogs, which I showed you some pictures a while ago. So yep. But they're not the ones that's gonna come close, you know. Mm-hmm. And Nathaniel was talking about it earlier. The borderlines are gonna come and stand at you at 10 yards and stick their tongue out at you.
Yep.
And
the shooters you're either never going to see,
yeah,
or they're going to be at about 75 yards the whole time right around you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I just got second picture of this deer that I got, but the first, like, no doubt shooter for me tonight, the picture I was showing you beforehand, and then I got, like you're saying, I got a few others that are like, if I see him, maybe, but like if I don't see him and it's right away, oh yeah, he's a shooter, I'm just going to let him walk.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I'm at with that, but. That's about all I got so far. So, and yep. I've not got a bunch of pictures at all. Like, I'll get a doe messing around in front of the camera for 20 minutes and get a bunch of pictures of her.
Smell on the camera.
Yep. I've had a few of those. But
I really thought with the rain coming in and being cooler, I thought they'd move like crazy tonight. But
I think tomorrow will be good.
I didn't even get any pictures like 6:30 tonight.
I think that with the wind like it was today, and we're still kind of, the front's still kind of moving through today. So I think tomorrow will be good.
Then Wednesday, we're back to what, 75?
70, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did drive around this evening, checking some other spots, seeing what crops are out. Saw that one.
You getting close?
No.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good. Something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back. And giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
No. Have they even started?
No.
Should they have started?
Yes. I take that back. There's a bean field. Nah, there's a couple bean fields peeled off there.
Yeah.
No corn.
That's not going to help you much.
Nah, no corn. Let's see. That one I showed you a little bit ago, he's right across the road from where he needed to be.
Yep.
But when all that corn comes out,
who knows?
He should end up back there in the thicket where he ought to be.
Yep.
But he looked like he'd be borderline shooter, you know. Mm-hmm. I just got a quick look at him, but he could be there.
Right.
But then, gosh, they're at home. I've got like two different three-year-olds on camera. They're not impressive looking at all, an 8-pointer and a 10-pointer. I have one buck that I think is 4 that I've got just a couple pictures of from last year. He did not do anything impressive at all. If anything, he's a tiny bit
smaller.
That's
the one that, yeah.
Yeah. If anything, he's a tiny bit smaller. But, again, all my hope is riding on the 300 acres of corn that surrounds me, you know.
Well, when, you know they're going to hold up in there in those waterways and stuff. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. So as soon as that corn comes out, we've got the weed patch and everything. So should be good to go there. I mean, something's got to get pushed in there.
Did you see that I sent you?
I did. That's a giant deer.
Yeah, nothing like that. Nothing like that there.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. 218.
Yep. I was going to say here, if you guys haven't, go back and listen to episode number 72, which I probably already said this in the intro. Little peek behind the curtain here. Usually when we have a guest in, we talk to him, and then I go back and record the intro afterwards. So sometimes I repeat myself because I don't know what I'm going to say yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, Rodney was on with us on 72, so that was back in April. If they've been listening to the podcast too, they know, because you know you're a partner of ours.
Yep.
That you work with Midwest Farm and Land, and then you've got RG Outdoors as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Midwest Farm and Land is big into selling recreational properties, yep. Obviously. So I know we talked about a little bit on 72, but just kind of talk about that a little bit about what you guys got. You don't have to go into like the whole background, because again, go back listen to the other episode, but like, is there anything new? What's going on with Midwest
really
Farm
just,
Land staying steady, keeping
it's staying
busy?
Steady. I mean, we sell tillable ground. We sell recreational ground. We sell commercial. We sell residential. Mm-hmm. With the change in the market this year, we've sold a lot more homes than the recreational ground this year,
right?
Which is kind of odd for us. But we do it all. I mean, we're just not.
You have to change your name to Midwest Farm and Home.
Farm and Home, yeah. Yeah, I've got an ad that actually says, don't let the name deceive you, because we have,
right.
You know, we sell everything. But with the interest rates, that's kind of slowed the land down a little bit. But I tell you what, there's still a lot of cash out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got 2 or 3 buyers right now, if I could find ground for them, that want to spend $500,000 to $800,000,
yeah.
You know.
Man.
Lucky them, huh?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Lucky you.
Yeah. Well, if I could find it.
Right.
I put
I got 10 acres.
You got 10 acres.
I'll cut them a deal. We'll go $250,000 on it.
Yeah. Hey, if some farm grounds bring that, not very far north of us.
I know it.
As far as tillable farm ground, yeah, I mean, right now we're seeing stupid, ridiculous prices, you know, mm-hmm. anywhere from $8,000 up to $12,000 just in our area, you mm-hmm. know. Up around Montrose just 2 months ago, I think there was some that hit $18,000.
My goodness.
Do you see that changing anytime soon, or you think it's just going to level off, or is it going to keep going up?
They don't make any more of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This tillable farm ground is highly sought after, but, man, if you're paying that much for it, you got to be paying cash.
Yeah.
I mean, you mm-hmm. can't finance that stuff. I mean, right. you're talking 8%.
I mean, there's time you pay 4%. Your interest on it, you're...
Yeah. I mean, if you're a first-time... There's a program out right now with the FSA that if you're a first-time farmer
mm-hmm.
or have a farm background, you can get some decent interest rates, 3 and 4%. But just for the average person to go out, you know, the average farmer, like your father-in-law, to go out and buy ground, you know, if he was going to finance it, you're only 7-8%.
Right.
You're not going to get very many farmers that's going to do that.
Mm-mm. No.
Now, on houses, it's a little bit different because everybody needs a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And more people now are realizing this is a proven fact that millennials, sorry guys.
I think I just missed a cut on that.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I'm at Z or X or whatever's after that.
Okay.
I'm right there on the edge.
I'm definitely a millennial.
Yes. You're smack in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You're not the typical millennial, though.
No. But.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
PTL, maybe. PTL. Praise the Lord.
Millennials have it figured out where they realize they're throwing money away paying rent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. For some reason, a lot of generations couldn't figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're more driven toward owning their home than renting. So that is part of where this increase in the market has come from, is just the millennials themselves. Well, then through all the PPP money, there was so much money that flooded the market. A lot of people use that for their down payments and stuff like that. Yep. So right now we're, you know, it's a seller's market if it's there.
High demand and fixed.
No inventory.
Yeah.
You get a good quality property that comes on the market. I mean, a house, whatever it is, it's gone in 12 hours. I mean, we was talking about that one earlier. Mm-hmm. There was 54 acres that was on that market 4 hours.
Yeah.
I put, this was a sportsman's paradise. I put, over Claremont, over East Olney, I put on 30 acres and it had a 1994 mobile home at double wide. But man, it looked like it was almost brand new.
Yeah.
But it had the old shag maroon carpet.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Had the vintage feel.
Yeah, had the vintage feel. But set in a nook of a lake, and the lake looked like, from my drone pictures, looked like a turkey's foot. So it was just a beautiful setting. But I put that on the market at 5 o'clock on Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I got a phone call from a couple out of Florida wanting to make an offer on it, and I hadn't even seen it.
Hmm.
So by the time it was over with, I had three offers and probably could have took more if it would allowed, but we just got such a good offer on it, over asking, that the seller said, let's just go ahead. You know, we're not going to get any better than this. And we probably wouldn't have. So.
Right. So how much of that are you seeing, like, on, especially on the land side of things, out-of-state buyers? Like, does it make up a pretty good percentage?
I bet, to be honest with you, I'd say probably it was more a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd bet we're 50-50 now.
Yeah.
Wow.
A couple of years ago, when there was a lot, I bet it was higher than that.
Yeah. Hmm. I was going to bet, like, probably, and me not having any idea, 50 to 60% would have been my guess.
Yeah. We have a lot of Alabama.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana.
And we've talked about this before. And, of course, if they're buying land, they can get landowner permits. But even in, like, Iowa, depending on what seasons you're hunting and when you can get up there, it's, you can get maybe two tags a year, maybe, right? Maybe. So here in Illinois, you can buy two tags a year no matter what, and it's closer than Iowa. It's the closest thing to Iowa they're going to get without driving another 5 hours.
Yeah.
I never thought about that part of.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Right. We have the probably, and I mean, the reputation is getting better all the time, but Southern Illinois has some of the biggest, but the best deer hunting in the Midwest that is in Iowa.
Yeah.
You're right.
Or Kansas. And Kansas is another 6 hours. So.
We had talked before. I knew that Illinois was always a contingency plan for out-of-staters because tags are over the counter, at least for a bow, you know.
Yep.
Like they can just buy them. They got to pay for them. They want to go to these other places, but they know that Illinois is always a fallback.
Yep.
But since we're a $2, no matter what state, if you're going to pay, if you're going to pay that money, then they want ground here.
Yep. And you go to Missouri, you got to go to northeastern, northwestern Missouri to get into big deer, because southeastern Missouri is, almost Iowa.
Yeah.
If you go to Indiana, it's hit or miss. There's some big deer there, but not as many as readily available, we'll say, as Illinois. Kentucky, if you're not in western Kentucky where the ag ground's at, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, they're
smaller. And then you've got Ohio, but...
That's a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, you take Mississippi to Ohio.
Yeah.
That's a haul.
I mean, we're the closest big buck state, quote-unquote. I mean,
you're eight hours.
Yeah.
You know, a day's drive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if a guy's going to buy land, he wants to be able to go to it more than one trip.
They cross the river and they stop right here.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the thing about it is, like, Iowa, you got to get the draw.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas, I think it's the same way. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Ohio.
Kansas is a draw now. I don't know about Ohio either. At least used to be over the counter, right? Because
I think.
Did Wes and Lathan not go out and hunt? Or Wes and Craig or
Jamie.
Back in the Team Harvest days. Yep. I think it was on the first or second video.
Yeah.
They went out and hunted there. Ohio.
Yeah. Jamie went out there and killed a good buck.
Did he?
And there wasn't. I don't remember him saying there was much to it as far as the license and tags and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to Clifford, you know, our Radix dealer.
Yeah.
And he said it might take you 5 years to get a permit in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you come up, I mean, all they got to do is drive up here and go to
Walmart.
Go to Walmart and get you a tag and hunt that afternoon, you know?
Yep.
Yep.
But yeah, I'd say it's 50%. Like, I've got a guy right now from Alabama I'm looking for property for. He's a great guy. Become good friends, but he just hasn't found anything that we can get for him yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Been outbid on a couple properties. Now, farmland, it's all, you know, it's all local unless it's a corporation.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's...
Which is still being run by local people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Compared to the last 2 years... Are there as many places and properties coming up for sale this year as there has been the last couple of years?
No, we're probably, I bet the if I was checking numbers, I bet let's just put it this way. Last year we sold $85 million.
Mm-hmm.
The year before last we sold $110 million.
Mm-hmm.
Year before that we sold $125 or $35 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that just shows you the decrease.
The people that are wanting it are getting it and hanging on to it, you think?
People, we're starting to see in the last 2 months, we are starting to see a lot more tillable come on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they're paying stupid prices for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How do you not sell ground for, like, say you bought it in 1995 for $2,000 an acre, if that, for tillable ground. How do you not sell it for $10,000?
Maybe $800 an acre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have bought Don and Crone's farm.
Really?
I could have bought John McCrone's farm for $350 an acre.
Oh, my gosh.
So we talk about Winky a lot. I mean, we've had conversations about him on the podcast. Yeah. I heard him say that he thought back when he was buying property, if a guy would have been smart about it, you could have bought all of southeastern Iowa and paid for it with the timber.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it was like $350 an acre because nobody wanted it because you couldn't do with it. Well, that's one walnut tree.
Yeah.
There's enough timber there that you could have bought all of southeast Iowa.
Yeah.
And just made your money back with the timber.
Yeah.
And he said that that's one thing, like, going back, that's what you do. And it's like, well, you look at it now, even, like, we were just talking, recreational property even is going for $4,000 an acre. And who would have thought?
Bob McCorkle, the farm that he had in Georgia, he bought that, logged it, paid it off.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
Just on log. Years, I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah. I remember when he left.
I mean, well, yeah, he owned it, like, 20 years before he ever left, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But, there's a lot of farm ground, which when I was got out of high school, it was 81. Farm ground was $250, $350, $450 an acre.
Yeah.
And I raised hogs, all my FFA projects. I had money. I should have bought ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we can all sit here and say we should have done stuff.
Right.
Yep.
Which makes me wonder if, even when we're talking about $4,000 an acre being a lot for recreational property, if we're going to be saying the same thing in 20 years. Or if it's going to plateau at some point.
I got to think the rec ground's going to plateau.
You think?
And here's why. I mean, if you're borrowing the money, it's got to appraise.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And if you can't make money back on it.
Yeah. And most recreation ground, you're not making money back on it. No. Unless you have 40 acres, it's got 10 acres of CRP or something on it.
Right.
You know.
And even then, you're talking
pennies.
I mean, $1,700. $2,000 a year, you know, enough to pay the taxes.
Yeah, maybe you're paying your taxes on it, right?
But recreational ground here in Wayne County, which the counties that people are wanting to buy ground in is Wayne, Marion, Clay, a little bit of Jefferson, as far as we've in southern Fayette, that's where people are wanting to buy the ground for the big bucks. Because we've got the notoriety of the bigger bucks.
Yeah. Right. probably our fault.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We quit saying we were from Kansas.
That's right.
Now, Southern Illinois, there's a lot of ground. I mean, truthfully, if I was going to buy ground just to hunt, I'd go to Southern Illinois because you can buy ground down there for $2,500 an acre.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is you can go down there, just like today, one of our agents down there put 5 acres on the market, but it's butted up by Shawnee on three sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got public access.
So you got 5,000, 10,000 acres, you know.
To me, if you're looking at buying recreational property that might be worth something in the future, it's that kind of ground because mm-hmm. with Missouri's elk program, eventually there will be elk in the Shawnee Forest in Southern Illinois.
Well, and there's
that ground will be stupid expensive once it gets to that point.
Well, there's elk mm-hmm. in Kentucky.
Right, exactly. There's Kentucky, Missouri is all around us, and the Shawnee has the terrain to hold an elk herd.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy ground down there for $2,500 an acre in 30, 40 years when there's elk down there.
Yep. Worst part about Shawnee is rattlesnakes. I can't stand snakes.
I was getting ready to say that $2,500 an acre will come with all the rocks and the snakes you can imagine.
Well, and get you some gator boots. You'll be fine.
There was an acquaintance of mine bought some ground down in Hardin County. I think he bought 100 acres, I believe. And he went in there and he said it was stuff that he had been just left, you know. Yeah. And he said, I'd seen rattlesnakes all the time. He said, but by the time I got done bush hogging and cleaning up and making my trails and stuff like that, he said, I hardly ever see one. But I guess in them old CRP field that they just forgot about, he said, they're thick. I would have said, nope.
Uh-uh. Burn the
I don't know how
thing.
You get rid of them either.
Burn the whole thing.
I'd have to been
twice.
I'd have to been in a cab tractor with my feet. I still think I'd been on top of the seat, you know.
Yeah, right.
My feet.
Right.
Yeah.
Just go in there and rip it several times after you burn it, even. Get them out of the ground.
Drop a bomb.
right.
Oh, no.
Years and years ago, we went down there four-wheeling one time, and I seen two or three snakes, and I thought, I ain't never coming down here again.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's like, you know, we all have a lot of friends that go down there and ride horseback.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, mm-hmm. they've had to see them or
yep.
they've, but.
I do worry, like, when we go hiking down there occasionally, it's like, man, you're always looking for
see,
them.
See, and I won't even do that anymore.
yeah.
You wouldn't catch me out there with them.
If I'm going, I'm wearing my 380 on my side. And,
right.
And then I'm in a national park. So
45.
Yeah.
big snake.
Anything worth
big
doing gun. Is worth doing, right. yeah.
Then I'm in a national park, so again, we're going to get me for wearing
so,
a firearm.
So are they.
I didn't hear anything.
yeah.
I didn't hear nothing, officer. I don't know what you're talking about. That tree snake, fell back there a little ways.
That snake was disturbing my peace.
yeah. Right?
But I do think, to answer your question about ground level or not, I think recreational ground is going to have to level out. Tillable farm ground, I don't know. I don't see anything like that happening.
Right.
Isn't there black dirt up in central and northern Illinois and Iowa selling for $25,000 an acre?
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable.
I'll tell you what you guys ought to do. You ought to get on landwatch.com.
Uh-huh.
If you don't. And just get their alerts for stuff that comes on the market up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts. I mean, you know, the other day I think there was a 40. No, wait a minute. Yeah, 40 came on. It was like $850,000, you know.
So how much money, what kind of bushel you had got to raise per acre?
All of it.
Yeah. But, yeah.
to make that money.
But 250 bushel an acre corn, if there's nothing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're pushing 125 acre or bushel an acre beans.
Yeah.
They're our bumper crops and stuff that we just dream about. Yeah, they'd probably be upset if they grew that.
Bad years.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember when, you know, we'd grow 100 bushel an acre corn, and them mm-hmm. guys up there were pushing 175 and 200. You mm-hmm. know, and we thought 100 bushel an acre corn was good back yep. in the 70s.
Yep. And now.
But you're still talking, if you're raising 200 bushel corn and they're raising 300,
mm-hmm.
that's not three times as much.
Mm-hmm.
The math don't work out.
No, they've only got 50% more crop.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think there's the difference too is the soil is more fertile. Than you don't have to have the fertilizer.
The cost is down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about their taxes up there? You got any idea?
I don't know what. I haven't really paid much attention to
it
taxes.
It is Illinois.
It is Illinois. Yeah, that's the thing.
mm-hmm.
But I haven't really paid any much attention to what taxes are. in those areas because I really don't do much up there. Now, if I had something to sell up there, like I'd love to go up there and sell 100 acres of tillable farm ground.
Right.
I'd like to do that in January because you know what? I wouldn't have to work the rest of the year.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the commission on it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
But recreational ground, though, I think it's going to have to level off. I mean, last year we seen rec ground 32, 35. This year we're seeing rec ground in certain areas 4 and even 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Over around Marion County, you're getting some 5s, but under 5,000 an acre. But some of those too are managed. I mean, mm-hmm. they've got the trails. They've got, you know, yeah. food plots already put in them. And that's getting to be a big business now, as guys know. We had a guy buy 291 acres down in Hardin County, Hardin or Pope. And he went in there and started cutting trails, putting stands, making plots.
Yep.
And he starts selling that off.
Yep.
And he's making a mint.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing we've talked about that before is buying property. And in my opinion, if you want to get into land ownership on a big scale, you got to start with smaller stuff that it's not going to be undervalued anymore, but maybe doesn't have the trail systems and the food mm-hmm. plots on it. Establish those. Mm-hmm. Establish the habitat and establish the food. Get some pictures of some nice deer on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it. Buy something a little bigger. Do the same thing till you get to where you want to be or where you want to be.
Like flipping houses.
Yep. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Worst part about that on the ground, on rec ground, you're a 3 to 5 year turnaround on doing something like that.
I mean, it ain't a year.
No, it's not a year. Unless you got a 20 acre piece, you know, and then your food plots come out and they look great. And
yeah.
But, you know, you get something big, you're looking 3 to 5 years by the time you...
Yep.
You do have time to play with it in the meantime.
Yeah, you get to hunt.
That's why if you're going to do it, buy something that you would hunt yourself.
Yeah.
Because you never know, again, like
you
said...
Don't ever get tied to something.
3 to 5 years and maybe you get stuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get stuck with it, something happens, you get stuck with it, you don't want to have something that you wouldn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to buy it right. That's the big thing. But housing market, it's a new ball game every day.
Yeah.
We just don't know. I mean, there's so many things going on the political side of things that, you know, we just don't know. I mean, government shutdown, people don't realize, like, if the government would have shut down, that took out FHA loans, VA loans, any government-backed loan.
Mm-hmm.
That loan just was held up.
Hmm.
So, you know, conventional cash should still go, but the government shutdown affects the housing market.
Yeah.
Prices on homes, they're ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like your house, I mean, it's probably worth 30 or 40% more than what you paid for it.
I love to hear that. Just don't let the tax person know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I agree.
You got $75,000 homes that still should be $75,000 selling for $125,000.
Yeah. Right.
You know. Yeah. And
I have often thought about that.
Yeah. I mean,
but then what's it takes that much more to get in something.
Yeah. Yep.
And
you got to be able to replace it.
That's just like trucks, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like trucks are so expensive. I'm thinking I could get another one, but my gosh, I have to spend $50,000 to get, you know, something mm-hmm. that's noticeably better. And
mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's busy. I mean, it's not as busy as we was last year or year before just because the market's not there. It's not us. It's everybody. It's across the board.
Yeah.
Now,
you guys still have some local offices, correct?
We have one in Salem and one in Breeze. The one in Mount Vernon. Was just a satellite for the agents to use. We don't have that one now.
Yeah, I saw that you guys had moved out of that one. I figured it was probably something like
that. The agent that works down there, she didn't have internet at her house, reliable internet.
So she needed somewhere to work.
Well, when she got reliable internet, it's just like everything else. You know, we've cut back on overhead just because the sales aren't there.
Trimming fat.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, you save $500 or $600 a month by renting an office, you know.
Right.
Yep. But we've got, I think we're up to like back up to 20, 21 agents scattered throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't know, Decatur South, and I'm the furthest one east in Flora, and then we have one over in Metro. So
mostly middle of the state down,
middle
close
state
to
down.
Middle state.
Yeah. We would, We'd expand north if we had the agents to do it, but north's pretty tight up there because Whitetail Properties.
Oh yeah,
their headquarters is in Beardstown.
Yeah,
Pittsville.
Pittsville. Yeah.
Yeah. So they just built a massive $2 or $3 million building last year.
And they've been around
long time.
Long time, right?
Then you got land guys up there. You got a lot of big guys up there. But we'd like to have some agents up there. So
right, that Golden Triangle, Pike County, and all that, I would say, had a lot to do with establishing a lot of land companies up in that area.
Oh yeah,
because people come in and they bought all that ground that was available, and then it just kind of spread out from there. So that set in motion a lot of real estate companies, I would say,
specifically right up in that
on the
area.
Land side. Yeah. So you guys, like, you're actively looking for agents then, or is it kind of a...
We need agents in areas we're not in.
Yeah.
I mean, we really need an agent, probably White County down in there, Wabash, down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need agents anywhere north of 70.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening that's a real estate agent or interested in getting your license, you know, we could help you with that. But we'd like to get some established agents that's done this for a while, but, you know, we'd take new agents too.
Right.
Sometimes the new agents are good because then we can train them. And
they're moldable.
Yeah. We just got a young boy from, a young man, I can't say a boy, he's 20, 21,
mm-hmm.
from Centralia last year, about this time. And we trained him the right way to do it.
Right.
Or the way we want him to do it.
Right.
Which is the right way. And, you know, he's going to great guns. I mean, he's a go-getter, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't sit back and let stuff try to come to you as a real estate or you'll starve.
Right. And that's a good place to be as a company, too, looking to add people instead of the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you're kind of looking to expand, I guess, your area then a little bit.
Yeah. We definitely, like I said, we definitely need to go north, probably southeastern, and then if we could get somebody down around Chester, Sparta down in there, that'd be great too.
Right.
But definitely anything 70 north, we'd like to have some agents up through there.
Yeah.
That way we can start trying to get some of that market.
Yeah.
That the ground market up there, you're not going to get into that. That's just going to, I mean, it's a fluke if you get any tillable ground, because up there, all tillable ground's pretty well going auction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's just the way it is up there.
Mm-hmm. If you set it at $8,000 an acre and you could have got 15, 12, you know, in an auction, and everybody knows how auctions go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what happened up in Montrose there last year, or last spring. Two landowners, there's a 40-acre field, and one landowner on one side, one landowner on the other side, and they didn't like each other.
Yeah, that's the ideal situation being for the seller.
I would have sold it too.
Absolutely.
It was like...
And then you'd have been in both of their ears. I heard he was going to buy that.
It went like $18,000 an acre, you know, lasted forever.
I bit it got wild there for a
little
bit. I
bet it did too.
Why didn't your father-in-law go buy some of that?
Yeah.
You get in him, you guys can expand a little that way.
Ooh. I've talked to Paul a couple times about ground. I said, you find something, just let me know.
Yep.
Or not your father-in-law.
Yeah. Yep.
Your mom's boyfriend, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys could, well, it'd have to be close to home for the father-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 4 miles. It might be 5 miles end to end. But I think it's 4 miles end to end.
That'd be hard to beat.
And the bins are fairly well centered.
Right.
I mean, that there ain't nothing wrong with
everything
that.
Everything he owns is within 5 miles?
Yeah.
How much does he own?
He's farming about 900, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be the ideal situation, I would think.
That would be. No road time, no nothing.
No.
And 900 acres, pretty manageable, enough to make some money.
Yep. Yeah, one end to the other. 4 miles, maybe five, maybe.
I'd like to have 900 acres right there around where I got that 10 acre. Well, Dad has that 10 acres now.
Yep.
A guy could grow some deer there.
Yes.
If you had, really, I did it on a map. If a guy had about 350 acres there, you could grow some really nice deer. But.
You got to have about 100 acres to hold them, don't you?
I mean, to hold them more than that, but if you're talking like, well, kind of what we try to, our philosophy is, hold them when you can hunt them. So daylight during the fall.
Yeah.
You can set your property up for that. You can do a lot on 100 acres with that. If you can keep them on you for the most of the time in the fall during the daylight, because if they're on somebody else during the summer or at night,
yeah, don't care.
Big deal. They can't shoot them legally. Anyway, if they're on you during the fall in the daytime, you get to decide where they live or not, yeah, for the most part. You know, obviously the rut's got to change stuff, and then they're still going to naturally move off of you, even if you do have a few hundred acres. But yeah, if you got 100, even 40, if it's the right 40, you know, locations, yeah, everything, you know,
oh,
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's a good place to be as far as being able to grow some deer.
That last one I killed 2 years ago, he hit two cameras pretty regular, mm-hmm, you know, and then where I killed him down there, I think because the neighbors didn't act like they'd ever seen him,
right?
You know, and they were in there. I mean, yeah, they were hunting, you know. I think he spent a lot of time in about a 300, 400-yard long swath.
Some of them
right
will, especially when they get to that age.
Yep. Yeah, they get older. They don't move much.
Yep. I had one picture of him on a super hot camera, mm-hmm, 250 yards east of there, where, mm-hmm, I had a ton of bucks, but he just never went over there.
And that's the thing, too, is it's maybe not necessarily that they, as they get older, they don't move as much, which is some of it, because they get older and they get lazier. But also, like, they probably live that long because they don't move that much.
Exactly.
That's their personality, you know?
Yeah, and he really figures out where he don't get messed with.
It's the same way as the bucks that move during the daylight versus the night. Part of the reason you don't see a lot of, and I was just talking about this with the guy I told you I was talking to earlier, Brandon, when, like, the deer that you see at 4.5, 5.5 that are, you get a lot of nighttime pictures of, the reason they made it to 4.5, 5.5 is probably because they've always moved a lot at night.
Yeah.
The ones that would be daylight walkers at 4.5, 5.5 probably got killed at 2.5 and 3.5.
Yeah.
You know?
The weekend before Thanksgiving.
Exactly. And or the weekend after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I have had a bunch of daytime pictures. I mean, midday this last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, usually I've had, yeah, you know, I had that. But, mm-hmm,
right.
But it's, and it's some bucks. And
yeah. Well, we've had, especially compared to the last couple of years, it's been, mm-hmm, cooler.
Yeah, cooler
this,
start.
This year in October than it has, yep, been.
Yeah, exactly.
So that does make a difference. But like what you're saying there, back to the kind of the growing big deer thing, I think a lot of people misunderstand that, well, in order to grow deer, I have to have them on me all the time.
Mm-mm.
And it's just, number one, you can't really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the average is for a buck, he'll make one excursion a year at least that's a mile. Generally, an average 1 mile, 2 miles during the rut. They'll make one big excursion and come back to their home range, but you're not owning 2 miles of ground,
yeah,
you know.
And but, they're probably right now just starting to do their fall,
yep,
fall range.
Yeah, they're falling into it for sure. This is where
the pattern.
Yeah, I talked about that on the Full Draw Friday that went up today. This is Saturday. Science says that they are on their feet more and more as October rolls on,
yeah,
right? Like in the daylight, mm-hmm, their daytime activity just keeps going up, steady climb. We see the lull though, right? Like, mm-hmm, seems like they're on their feet in the daylight more in September, and then it cuts out till late October. Well, they're just not moving very far,
yeah,
right now. They may be on their feet more in the daytime. They're just not leaving their bedroom, mm-hmm, very far, 200 yards, maybe that, you know.
And there's still a lot of corn out too.
There is.
Oh, tremendous.
There's still
amount.
A bunch of corn.
Yep.
I hope it goes before,
yeah,
end of October.
Yep. Speaking of that, I told you that those beans got, well, I'm wanting to put that blind.
Are they out?
I don't know if they're all the way out, but they were starting on whatever day I texted you, Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was wondering about that today.
I'm hoping this would be perfect to get that blind in before, yeah, maybe this, I'm going to try to do it this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think. But anyway. That's, yeah, what you're talking about with the corn, that's a big thing, too.
Yeah, there's still a lot of corn.
Yep, which you'll start seeing it, like, if you get corn around your property, like, hopefully, with, mm-hmm, your situation.
Yeah.
You'll see bucks move in, even, because they got to find somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and we got the weed patch, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was trying to figure up, there's got to be at least 300 acres from the surrounding me. A good halfway,
mm-hmm,
you know, a good half circle all the way around me. It's got to be 300 acres of corn.
Yeah.
And when they start peeling that off, things will change big time.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Here when the wheat gets up, you're going to see a lot more deer in the wheat fields, too.
I just seen some wheat driving around this evening up about 2 inches already.
Mm-hmm.
There's a field over Claremont. It's probably 4 inches tall.
Wow.
And every time I go by it, I've been over there a lot last 2 weeks. Every time I go by, there's deer all over.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're in that green transfer right now, so they're, the beans are turning on them, and They're lurking for that next green. So if you got that kind of wheat right now.
The best deer hunting we ever had there on Bo's ground at Orchardville was when he put that in CRP.
Mm-hmm.
And they drilled that in wheat that fall.
Yeah.
For that CRP. My gosh, we had so much fun hunting out there.
Yeah, I bet.
Because every, and it's not so much that we killed deer there, which we did, but it was just every hunt we went on, you seen deer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot.
Yeah, that makes a difference. So with, we talked about Midwest Farm and Land, obviously, mm-hmm. a little bit. With RG Outdoors, I think since the last time you were on, you picked up Tacticam, right?
Yep, we're a Tacticam dealer now. That's been pretty successful. Sold a lot of stuff there. They're
so popular,
and I was talking to a guy today. He's got 13 of them.
Really?
And he's an outfitter.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about them is you put them out there, you don't have to worry about going and checking your cards. You don't have to worry about pushing deer, you know, yep. because everybody that's got cameras that don't have cell cameras right now, they're going in and checking their cards every other day
right.
to see what's there because they weren't trying to pattern their deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to do that.
Right.
And, yeah, they've been a big hit. I ordered a bunch, sold them all real quick. The battery packs, the LiPo battery packs and the solar panels, those all went good well too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm out of everything right now. I just ordered some battery packs and some solar panels because I had a guy wanting some. The thing about it is I have to have minimum orders, you know, like
yeah.
I got to order 8 cameras at a time.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I don't want to go through wintertime holding inventory.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good pickup. I enjoyed that. Thing about it, you getting to meet new people once they realize you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And or you're doing different things, so yeah, that was a good pickup.
Yeah, you guys obviously you still got the camo dust too.
Yep, sold a bunch of that down at Southern Illinois Hunting and Fishing Days.
Did you
at Carterville?
So far, I haven't had any deer downwind of me to know whether it works. But Jeff hasn't gotten busted yet that I know of.
No way.
So no, I mean he hasn't yet.
Is he using it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, actually, so funny story on that. He said he had it. Of course, we've had it since the spring or yeah. whenever you brought it, right? And he had it in that can. And he said he couldn't get the thing out of there because it was like a brick, basically. You got to kind of loosen yeah. it up after a while. So he said he shook it around and got loosened up a little bit. And then he forgot what you told him about dusting it, right? So he went to, like, trying to pat it on himself, and he swung it around. And for those of you that don't know, it's basically a powder that's in a sock, essentially. Yeah. He said he slung it around and hit himself in the back of the rib cage. He said he'd like to knock the air out of himself. Like hit himself with a baseball in a sock. He yeah. said he that broke it loose, though, and then he was like, I'll just dust it on. So he's been using it, but I don't know if he's had anything downwind of him or not, but I know he hasn't been busted yet.
Yeah. I sold a lot of it down there. People, and it was that people that knew the product.
Yeah.
Sold a lot of that, which I still have. All the Radix stuff, mm-hmm. stick and picks, which yep. you guys have some of those.
I really
love those things.
I really do too. Mm-hmm. Even on places where I have trees that I maybe would put a camera on, I've used those, and it's just enough better where I want that camera.
Yep.
It's like you got this tree, and before it was like, that one will work. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to have it here,
yeah.
like maybe mm-hmm. 5 yards difference. Mm-hmm. Now I just stick that thing in the ground, and it's good to go.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about it. I order these and then I end up using them myself. That's the bad thing.
Right.
You know, other than the ones Clifford gave me, because he'd give me a bunch.
Yep.
And then I'd moved a camera. I picked up some more ground that I could hunt there by my house. And
mm-hmm.
I needed a camera. So I just went and got one of my cameras that I had behind my house. And I thought, I'll just move it. Well, I knew there weren't any trees down there. So I just went and go by the tripods and set out there, you know. So there's. Mm-hmm. Then I can still sell it, but
yeah.
But I like the ones that go on the tree because just like a camera, you know, your Radix cameras or your any type of camera you use,
mm-hmm.
you walk up to that tree. Oh, that's a good straight tree. Well, then when you get up there and get your camera on, it's pointed down. So yeah. what do you got to do? You got to go find a stick,
right?
And, mm-hmm. You know, with these
the perfect stick,
yeah,
yeah, right.
And then you whittle on it to get a halfway yeah. flat spot
yep.
on it.
Yep.
But with these tree mounts, man, you can just screw them in a tree and adjust them where you want them and go, yeah. you yep. know.
And it's perfect and easy.
Yeah. yeah.
One place I used one of those, it wasn't a matter of the tree being crooked, which it kind of was, but it was a great big maple or an oak.
Something anyway. Your strap wouldn't go around.
Exactly. The strap wouldn't fit around it. So I just took one of those mini screw-ins, mm-hmm. screwed it in there, and now it's perfect.
Yeah, I like those. I'm Yep. I'm going to have to keep my hands out of my inventory there.
Yeah.
But, so the still selling a lot of the blinds.
Yeah. How's that coming now? Because obviously they had the manufacturer issues and they were kind of back ordered on them.
Yeah, he's,
is he catching up?
I talked to Bonita, his wife, this week. They're supposed to have him in. She thought they was going to be here this week on the soft. He got a load of hards in. But he's supposed to have the softs this week. I don't know if he got them yet, but he had a problem. He told me, did he tell you guys up at, or tell you up at Bloomington?
Yeah, I talked to him.
How much he'd lost?
Yeah,
and it was he'd lost.
Yeah,
I mean that's a lot of deer blinds.
Yeah,
I mean a lot of deer blinds.
Right, right.
And which he takes it in stride. Clifford's such a good guy.
He is.
I mean, he just treats me so well. And
yeah,
I mean every time he's handing me something and giving me something, here, just take this.
It seems like he takes care of his people.
He does. He does, and that's what he said. He up there, he just brought me over one of the hang-on stands and one of the ladders, the ladders. And I said, Clifford, you don't have to do this. He said, nope. He said, I do this for my dealers. So
yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah, but those blinds, those soft-sided blinds, I've sold a ton of those things,
and they're slick too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, for the price point on them versus a hard-sided blind, yeah. I mean, gosh, it's hard to beat. If you can't, like hard-sided blinds are great because you have a little bit of that scent control too, but if you can't make that financial jump, like those soft-sided blinds are the next best thing.
Yeah, you can have three of the soft-sided blinds for one of the, the hard-sided. Yep. And I was just looking today, I was on Facebook and noticed there was, I can't remember the name of the blind, but it was a picture of a soft-sided blind, and the fabric on it was all, you could tell it wasn't tight. It didn't look good. And I got to looking at the prices, and it was like $1,700.
Man.
You know, I haven't found anything that is as cheap as these Radics.
Right.
That are the quality of that blind cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the stand.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I could have probably sold, I ran out 2 weeks ago. I'm not selling mine. I sold mine last year. I didn't get to hunt out of it. I'm not selling mine.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be getting some more, but I'm not going to get a bunch because I just don't want to hold them over the winter time again.
Yeah, right. And now's not the time of your like cameras. The guys are buying blinds either.
No, I'm looking at doing some things different with the RG Outdoors and even Midwest Farmland. I'm probably going to maybe go to a brick and mortar building in Florida where I can have stands and.
Mm-hmm.
Have a
so I've seen one sitting outside of a building there in Flora, one of the Radix blinds
at the ACT Automotive.
Maybe
when did you see it? Was it across from Casey's?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Troy's a friend of mine. He let me put them out there last year, but they was over by the car wash, and I sold a ton off there.
Okay.
This year we set it up closer to the building. Yeah, that's mine.
Okay.
That's
one I figured it probably was.
I picked it up last week.
Being in Flora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just let me set them out there. So, you know.
So you're looking to kind of have a place where you can do that.
I do my own. Yeah. And then I can add more.
Have inventory in a storefront kind of thing.
And I can have the hard-sided one, there too and stuff. And
yep.
That's probably not one you want to leave sitting out where just anybody can.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'd have to chain those down.
For the people of Flora.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't just leave it to any random guy from Flora with a trailer and a winch.
Yeah. You don't even have to winch them.
You can no, that's
over.
True. You just lay it over.
The Barnas, they didn't go over so well.
Yeah.
We're in Redneck, Illinois, so.
That's true.
Everybody wants a gun, so.
Yep.
I've got two left. I'm just trying to clearance them, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at some different things. We'll see what comes along. I don't know.
If anybody's looking for an interesting new way to kill a squirrel, talk to Rodney. He'll get you a discounted Byrna self-defense pistol.
Or at least, like, make the squirrel cry.
Well, make it really mad.
Well, that's a funny story. I'm going to be carrying one to one certain deer stand.
Yeah?
Because the neighbor's German shepherd dog is on my camera as much as the deer.
Yep.
And it's one of the good bucks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put the pepper and mace balls in there.
Yep.
And I'm going to plop that dog. I bet he don't come back when he...
Probably not. I bet he does not come back to that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better than the alternative.
I sold several of them. I took them down at Carterville, and I sold two.
Yeah.
But it was just like, everybody comes by, I said, well, I want the real thing. I want the real thing. Well, yeah, I do too, but, you know, for somebody that doesn't have consultant
I can definitely see a market for it.
But, yeah. They're just hard to move here in Southern Illinois, which is fine. So I'll clearance them out and not mess with them anymore. But like I said, I got some, trying to find some other things. But
I was going to ask if you got anything new coming up in the works or you got some ideas or.
Kind of got some ideas. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get in some plot seed.
Yeah.
Caleb, one of our agents, he has a big time dealership.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we'll do with that.
Right.
But, and then depending on, I don't want to say too much, but depending on how things go by the end of the year, if I have to spend money,
right,
instead of paying the government, I'm looking at a tractor and a front end loader and a rear time tiller, and I probably will probably try to get into some, you know, at least trying to do food plots for somebody, just make some money that way.
Yeah,
till gardens.
Yeah, that's well. Shoot, there's a big need for that even because you get old people that want to have gardens, but they can't get it tilled or find a way to do it. I know a guy around here that does it for. I forget what he charges per garden, but he makes a little bit extra spending money.
Well, there's a guy in Florida does them for
$35. You can pay for a tiller.
Yeah, $35 a garden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds about like what he was charging. Like I said, I don't remember the exact number, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. I mean.
We'll see how the rest of the year goes.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not paying the government anymore.
I don't blame you.
I'm going to have an asset for my business instead of.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. And then, which I know we can get plots from you guys too. So it's kind of. Have two or three different types. So, it's hard to market it when I don't have a website,
right?
And just doing Facebook,
yeah.
You know,
you're kind of limited on your audience right now,
yeah,
or your demographic, I guess.
So we'll see how things go. If we go brick and mortar, then we'll probably do some different things. Mm-hmm. Probably do a website and and we need to back up and take a look at the scope of my whole. Business, whether we need to incorporate and stuff now to for tax incentives and stuff. So we'll see what happens here.
Right. So some potential changes coming then.
Yeah, there's some. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll keep tabs on it here.
Yeah. I'd really like to have a office in Flores for the real estate. Just to have more of a presence in town too.
Yeah.
Instead of everything going to the big two in town.
Yep.
You know, because I have friends, you know, acquaintances. Well, shoot, we forgot you did real estate.
You know? Right. Out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, and there's a building there for sale right now. It gets 5,700 car hits a day goes by it. So,
really?
So it's kind of like, I just don't know that I want to bite it off yet.
Yeah. I kind of have that same vision for us at some point is getting a building, but it's like, do you rent something? Do you try to buy something? And then when you rent something, you're going to want to buy something at some point, probably. Because like you said, it's like you were talking about that office in Mount Vernon. It's how much money a month you're just throwing away.
Yeah.
And then if you buy something, even if whatever doesn't work out, if you can still make payments on the building, you can rent it out and have income instead of just being out all that money you paid for it. But and then it's finding a place too, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a perfect one in Flora. I mean, it's perfect, but and it's for sale. With the realtor there in town.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look at it next week, but I don't know what's going to happen. Thing about it is I've done billboards.
Yeah.
Okay. That big billboard there by Walmart that I had, that was $425 a month. And so if I had a building downtown that had all that information right on that building.
Yeah.
That's more notoriety than that billboard is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For not a lot more money, I would assume.
No.
I mean.
Yeah. Like I said, if the building's in any shape at all, it's got metal over the outside of the brick and it scares me. So.
Yeah. Right.
And I know I know I'm not going to be able to take the metal off and look at the brick.
Yeah. Right.
I have to say that very carefully because I don't want to.
Right.
Say bad things about people, but
I understand that. If I could have talked Amanda into it, I would have owned where the second liquor store is in town now, but I couldn't talk her into living out of the back of it while we were getting stuff done.
Yep.
Yeah. But if I could have talked her into that, I'd have bought that place because it would have been perfect building for having the podcast, having a studio in, doing taxidermy, and having a storefront all right there. That would have been great, but didn't work out. Wrong timing.
Yeah, that's kind of the way this is. I told Gloria it's for sale, and she said, you need to buy that. I said, I don't know that I want the overhead.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, by the time you do payment, I think the building's $65,000. By the time you do payment, insurance, utilities, you're $1,000 a month.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So we went on a cruise, and I said, if it's still there when we get back, I'll look at it. They dropped to $20,000 before we left, so that's what opened my eyes to it, you know, or $10,000, I believe.
Piqued your interest a little.
Yeah, and it's actually right across from Huck's, Hilliard's old building.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike don't own it anymore, but...
Yeah.
So we got back, and it's still on the market, and I talked myself out of it again.
Mm-hmm.
And Gloria said, you need to buy that. And I said, I don't know that I want that $1,000 a month overhead.
Yeah.
For something that I don't know that's going to make the money back.
Pay for itself.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't. I mean,
it's not going to for a while.
For a while, right?
Yeah. And
that is a hot intersection.
5,700 cars a day go through there.
Man.
So.
I guess I didn't realize that's where his place used to be.
He had a car lot there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
His repair shop's on down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
East. But,
Okay. Yeah, I know where you're at now. Yep.
So, I got a pre-approval letter. I called my banker there today, and I said, I don't know that I want to do this. I said, maybe this is me talking myself out of it. But, or me making the decision not to buy it, but I want a pre-approval letter so I can go look at it.
Right.
So, I'm going to go look at it next week just to see, but.
Yeah. You never know until you look, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like those bucks we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Might be different when you go see it in person.
I know it would help with both real estate and my outdoor business.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
That's as far as new products, other than maybe some seed and stuff. Again, the seed, stuff like that's hard to sell without a storefront or a website.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
no doubt. No doubt.
I don't want to get a bunch of money wrapped up in stuff and not be able to sell it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of with where you're at on all retail and stuff. Like you said, it's hard to do that just through Facebook and make it work for very long, right? Especially when you're wanting to. Well, you hit a point where it's either this is all it's ever going to be, I'm going to quit it, or I got to get bigger somehow, right?
And I had to do that in my water business too.
Yeah.
You know, Nathaniel carried a few bottles of water for me one summer.
Yeah. Oh, man.
but the blinds, they'll sell no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yep. But.
Yeah. So, man, we're about almost right at an hour. You got anything else you want to add or anything else coming up that we missed? Anything you want to talk about that we didn't?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. I mean,
if anybody's wanting to buy or sell real estate, get a hold of me in anywhere around.
Yeah.
I mean.
Basically, what you said right now, if you're selling something, it's going to sell really fast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's the thing. If you're selling something and it's priced right and good quality, it's going to sell fast.
Yep. That's why I always try to add in on our readout for you, too, is like not just if you're looking to buy.
Yeah.
If you're looking to sell, too, because it's the right market for it.
I mean, if.
And like you said, you got buyers.
Yeah. And if you're a buyer, go get that pre-approval letter or something and have it ready to go.
Yep.
Because.
You don't want to be behind the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like that property this week, four or five hours it was on the market and it was gone. Well, you don't even have time. If you're interested in it, you don't even have time to call your banker.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's too late.
Time he says, I'm busy, I'll call you back. Thing's gone.
Yeah. And my guy from Alabama, you know, I told him about it on Wednesday, told him we need to get an offer in by the end of the day. Didn't get it done. He called me that night, 9:00, said, hey, I'll have you an offer. No, he said, I'll call you in the morning. Text me at 9 and said, I'll call you in the morning. Call me at 7:30. He said, well, I said, I'm just thinking about a couple more things. Said, I'll have you an offer by noon. It was 2:30 when he finally called me. It was too late. It was done.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I should have listened to you. I said, yeah, I told you so.
Yeah.
But they, you know, people just don't understand how imperative it is to be ready to go.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
You know, that house that you and Kaylee looked at,
mm-hmm.
you know, that had been on the market for a little bit, but
yeah,
if it was something that was priced right and you was wanting it and,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't ready, it was going to be gone.
Yeah. Especially that too. Like if at the right price point, it's going to go quick.
Yeah. I'm going to look at 94 acres. I'm going to go talk to a lady about 94 acres Monday and, it might not even hit the market because yeah. I've already got buyers for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, yep. so, and there's a lot of that too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yep. Yeah. So if you're looking for ground again, and I said this in the intro too, get a hold of Rodney. I got his cell phone number in there. Everybody will be able to see that. And it's always in the description too, where they can find you and your stuff. RG Outdoors is your company on Facebook.
Yep.
And then Midwest Farm and Land, you can find them
anywhere.
So, yeah. I appreciate you coming in again.
Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, it's good. Always appreciate you taking the time to drive down and good conversation.
Pick up him.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Drag Nate into one of these.
Yep.
He needs an excuse to get down here, so.
Yes.
Yep. All right, well, that's all I got. You got anything else, Nate?
I don't think so.
All right, well, we will catch you guys on the next one.
Maybe we'll all have big deer stories next time.
Yeah.
I hope so. That's the plan, right? All right. Thanks, everybody.